My talk is on liberating data. I don't know if you folks are aware, but Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, we have been pretty invisible for a long time. Up until 1997, the OMB rule said that the designation of racial categories was Asian and Pacific Islander was a group, one of the five or four racial categories at that point. And in 1997, there was a rule that said they would disaggregate Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders from Asians. And for those of you, we as Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders make up 4% of the Asian Pacific Islander category. So from an informatics or a data perspective, statistics perspective, we were pretty much invisible. And so that was why there was this federal mandate, because our health issues are drastically different as a group. But despite the community and legislative efforts to disaggregate, we are still very much aggregated in all federal and national reports. And without that data, we really have a lot of difficulties in describing what's going on in our population. I call this the information cycle, and basically for those of us who do data, realize that data is just the first part of it. Data really does drive policy, and so when you don't have data or the research, you can't inform policy. Policy doesn't get you any funding or resources, and that makes it so that you don't have any programs or services to address the needs of your community. And so it's an ongoing cycle, and it's a real challenge for those of us who are doing this work. So we started thinking about how we're going to do this, and towards the end of my presentation, if there's time, I'll talk sort of about the philosophies around community-based epidemiology centers. But basically the questions we started asking is, you know, where do we start? What questions do we ask? What is possible with current data, and what should we collect? What's the best way to get to needed information to those who need to know, and how can we leverage information to bring about change? We started asking what data was available, because everyone told us there wasn't anything on our community, and so I'm going to skip that. So what we ended up doing is we started, we reached out to Ed Sondek, who is the director of Vital Statistics, and through some connections and some work that I did with him, I basically just said, would you please give us the data for the national vital statistics data? And he said, sure, I don't see why not. You promise you're not going to use it in any horrible ways? And I was like, well, there's not a real black market for vital statistics data these days, so I can guarantee we're not going to make $1 billion off of it, but I can guarantee you that we will put out really good reports that describe the needs of our population. So he gave us everything. But then we had a problem where we didn't really know what to do with it. Each year, this is the OMB 1997 standard reporting. In 2003, when the rule was mandated, only these states in green and the shaded colors of yellow and orange also were reporting in Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, but different standards, but still had Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. In 2004, and then in 2005. So you see, we had challenges in that the data that we were getting each year, we were kind of included. We don't know how good we were being included. It wasn't across the board. So some of the challenges that we faced were building an engine that would allow us to query and look at the data. So here's sort of the methods behind what we ended up doing. Not only did we got the race data by state for the 2003-2007 years. Now we have 2008 as well. And we had to develop a working definition of Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders, because within the system there was very different definitions, although there was a mandate. We examined deaths, crude death rates, appropriate states, squeezed and age standardized rates, implemented analytical tools to support rapid ad hoc analysis, SHOBA, validate against SAS outputs. That's my auntie. What we ended up doing is try to build a rapid query tool that allowed us to analyze the data. And I'm just going to just show it to you, because I think it's pretty awesome what we ended up doing. So hopefully you guys can see this. So we actually decided to use web-based technology, because a lot of the folks that we work with don't have sophisticated software products, and we wanted to make it accessible to even our partners in the Pacific, in Guam and Samoa, who have no access to any technology other than maybe an internet browser. So this is actually our website, sliceokakihealth.com is where it's sitting. It's actually sitting in Canada right now as the server. And you can see here you have Does that show up there? Yeah, it does. So calendar year 2003-2004. So this is Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander death in the states where there are recording. We have filtered it on states that have Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders being included. I don't have my phone, so I don't have my time. Nicole, can you give me a 5-minute warning? So we have the, so we see some small numbers, 2 deaths in Delaware. We see 6 in South Dakota. So we can't report those. We can't look at them by causative. We can, but we can't release that information because of confidentiality. So we have to aggregate those years all together when we do our reporting, and this is how we do that in this type of a query. Here are the top 5 states. Top 5 states for the 5 racial categories. I'll go back. So you can see we broke down American Indian, Inuska Native, Asian, Black, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, and White by California, Florida, Hawaii, New York, and Washington for the calendar years 2003, 2004, 2005. And we're able to do these in drop-downs. So this is a pivot table that allows us to pull them down and do a rapid query in rows and columns and allow us to look at it really quickly. And we'll start to show you some of the graphs where we start looking at the Native Hawaiian population in the different states. So now we're starting to be able to graph and look at pie charts. Here's Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders. This is in California. So it shows the differences of our population. So here's Hawaii. Here we are in Hawaii. Here we are in California. This is standardized death rate by state and race. So we're able to do some standardization so that we can look at our race population based on other populations. Given the fact that we're such a small group, standardizing it to the population and then being able to look at the differences. So the tall bar here is Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders compared to other races in these same states. So we're starting to be able to pull out the fact that when you are disaggregating Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander data, you start to see the high rates of mortality in the states where we have where our people are. More of that. So this is standardized death rate by race and state by cause of death. I think this is might be for cardiovascular disease. So I'm just going to go through some of the other things. We also are able to do some of the things as epidemiologists, we really need to be able to see confidence intervals and understand if our data is showing any statistical differences. So this particular slide shows mortality in the states. And you can see here is Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders by race. Here's by state. And we see great differences by state. And we also see great differences by race. And we believe that these are some of the things that have really more to do with the coding issues around our data and who in these states are actually coding appropriately. We believe California, Washington, and Hawaii is doing a pretty good job, and New York and Florida may not be categorizing Native Hawaiians properly yet. Here is the standardized rate with confidence intervals by race and state. So this is now Native Hawaiians are right up here. Native Hawaiians are here, 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 and in Florida, lower than the Black population and the white population. So we start to get the idea that we basically, it's completely possible to do this. And when you are able to disaggregate your data out and put it in an engine that allows you to query it, we can now write our own reports. We can produce this information and make it available to our federal partners so that they have access to it, so they can understand that their reports need to no longer re-aggregate Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. So we pretty much feel that we've done due diligence in trying to liberate the data. Right now we're working on also looking at the BIRFIS data. What time is it? Okay. So binge drinking, we're able to look at even the BIRFIS data. So BIRFIS data is available freely on the internet. Everybody has access to it, but when it's 10 years of data that you need in order to have a large enough sample size to look at statistical differences in your population, I don't know if anybody else has tried to do this, but I think they sit around, I don't know if there are any BIRFIS people in the room, you're a BIRFIS person or you've used it?
I used it for my dissertation.
Okay, So I don't know if you felt this, but I think they sit around the room and go, how can we make these variables not match up year to year? I mean, like, you have to work at that. They're like, let's just call it something different next year so you can't pull it all together. Because it's really difficult to pull 10 years of BRFIS data and analyze it by these categories. So that's what we've been able to do using this technology and the software. It's Microsoft Pivot Tables. It's SQL Server and CubeTalk technology. So, but we're binge drinking by age, and I'm just going to show you. We're still working on, it's kind of an interesting situation because you have a bunch of IT people who know nothing about public health working with a bunch of public health people who have no idea how difficult it is to do IT, and we're trying to solve problems together. And the IT guys say to us, you know, it's non-trivial. And we don't really know what that means, but they tell us all the time, it's non-trivial, whatever it is that you're asking us to do. And we keep saying that it's really not, that certain things aren't really important for us to look at, and we need to look at it a certain way. Like, the confidence intervals need to go up and down. They're like, why do you need that? Like, because if you do them sideways, everyone will laugh at you. So, you know, it's just these things we're working with, that kind of clash of the business intelligence world with the public health world, and the fact that we're trying to use accessible technology for our communities to be able to make data accessible, because it only does so much good when you liberate the data if you can't actually get it into the hands of people who can use it and understand it. I'm pretty sure I'm almost out of time, so she keeps telling me no, but I think I am. So I'm going to just go through some of the ones that I think are interesting, which is, I always find these things, this is for Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. This is very dissatisfied, satisfied, and very dissatisfied, satisfied, and very satisfied based on binge drinking in age categories. So this is 10 years of data for our population. Well, I think it's 4 years of data, actually. But still, it's enough for us to look at some statistical differences. Like here, we have males by all races. And you can see for the Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander category, the confidence intervals, even when we have 4 years of data, start to get pretty tall. And you know, so the true rate could be somewhere around here with the confidence, the whiskers being here. We don't know if there's statistical differences between us and whites or blacks because of the way that the confidence intervals go. So we have to still pull in more years of data to be able to determine that. Okay, so I think you get the gist of it as far as there's these really great tools. We're hoping that we can get them available to people who are doing research, especially with Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. We also have up to 78 racial categories that we can drill down into. So there's a lot of Asian subpopulations that don't have access to their data as well. And we're hoping to partner with other communities who want to have access to their data to be able to release it. Because right now we have it, but it's a relationship between us and Vital Statistics. And the reason why we have that relationship is because of this. We are the Native Hawaiian Epidemiology Center. Papa'ololokahi is authorized in the Native Hawaiian Healthcare Improvement Act, which was reauthorized in the Healthcare Reform Bill. And it basically says that this organization, Papa'ololokahi, is responsible for monitoring the health of the Native Hawaiian population throughout the country. Working with the tribes, I did this for about 12 years working with the tribes, and what we found was that if we could get it written into law that we were a public health authority, that we could get the federal government, to give us data without being concerned about sort of liability issues and confidentiality as long as we fulfilled and created partnerships with them. So we did that. We built the epicenter at Papa'ololokahi that allowed us that. And we were really successful in getting that up off the ground and allowing that partnership to access the data. So the kind of work that we do is we provide data technical assistance to other Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islander serving organizations. We produce reports, produce national reports on Native Hawaiians and other Pacific Islanders, like I said earlier. And we do this type of thing. We go out and we share with people that we are here, that we do have data, it is available, and we want people to understand that they no longer have to aggregate Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders back in with Asians. So usually at this point, I make everybody raise their hand and swear they'll never do it again, but you don't seem like a group who would violate the federal government's law and mandate. So serve as a clearinghouse for information essential to Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander serving organizations. And design and perform research to address the needs of our community. So, you know, these are what epicenters do. We aren't an academic institution. We are a federal government institution. We're a nonprofit organization that's run by the community that holds and controls the data, has a partnership with the federal government, and allows us to really monitor and serve our community in a way that's respected by the folks who are doing this work. So it's a wonderful model. I think every community should have something like an epidemiology center where they can access their own data, have access to it and share it with other people, but also have the respect and the relationship with the federal partners to be able to ensure that their data is included in the way that reporting is done.